Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I want to just talk to you this morning, and we're so excited about what God is going to do. And this is the last of a series we've been doing called Vision. I'm not pushing pause today, but I want to talk to our church. I want to pastor today. Is that okay? I'm not going to preach at you today. I'll just say thank you, Jesus. He ain't preaching to me today, but I'm going to talk to you today. And I want to talk to you about vision. We're going to have the leadership guru next Sunday. And I want to talk to you just what I call the definition of vision. It's just kind of having a picture of a preferable future. That's where you're looking ahead because you see something that could be better. And I want to talk to you about vision. I want to talk to you a little bit about our church, kind of where we're going in 2020. Some new exciting things. Would y'all like some good news? Some exciting things for our future. And so I want to talk. But first, let me talk to you just a little bit about the church. And I want to make sure we're all coming from the same point of view, the same spot. We're seeing it from the same bias point of view, that the church, this is not the church. Y'all do know that, right? This is just a building. This is not the church. The reason why this is the church today, this morning, is because you're in it. Because the church is the believers who come together. And whenever we come together and wherever we come together, it becomes the church. The church is the people. It's not this building. Can I get a good amen? This is just a tool. In fact, you've heard me say that we did not build this building for God. We didn't? No, we did not build this building for God. This is not a temple that was dedicated to the Lord. In fact, it's just the opposite, that God actually built this building, and he built this building as a tool or an instrument to put into our hands so we could come inside and we could be the church inside of here. How many of you know that? The church is wherever we gather. How many of you know the church was the church at WCA? The church was the church at the Delta Grand. The church was the church when we gathered together at the Opelousas Civic Center. Even though we had to pick up the beer bottles and mop up the beer and brown liquor off the floor. Some of you had to do that last night after that LSU game. We had to mop it up before we got in there on Sunday morning. How many know wherever we gathered, it became the church? And so I want to just make sure we're all seeing from that same vantage point. By the way, we did not build this church. We did not build this building so that it was just for you. We built it for those who aren't quite here yet. If you've got an empty seat beside you, would you just do me a favor? Would you just place your hand on the empty seat? And Father, we just pray in our future that that empty seat will be filled. Father, that by your Holy Spirit, you would go through St. Landry Parish and North Lafayette. And Father, you would call people by your Holy Spirit and that you would bring them to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus. And that, Father, you would start a revival in our community. And we pray for the person that's supposed to be sitting in that seat today, that you would call them into the saving knowledge of Jesus our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Say this number with me. 19,817. One more time. 19,817. That's the number within driving distance of this very location of people that have no church affiliation whatsoever. Now, I don't know where they're going to spend eternity. I don't know whether they're saved or lost, found or lost. I don't know. But I do know they don't have a place they call home. Just to give you perspective, when you leave today and you go to a restaurant, that's 50% of the people in the restaurant have no church affiliation. Wherever you go, you go into Walmart this afternoon, half the people in there. And so how many of you know, well, all that simply means is we still got a lot of work to do. That this is not the end, this is a beginning. And that we have a lot of people that we still have to reach. And so I wanted to make sure that we're all seeing that from the same point of view. In fact, let me take you to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 10. And it says this, if you'll follow along on the screen with me. It says, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to what? To display his wisdom. Everybody push pause just for a second. The church is not Pastor Jacob's idea. The church was birthed out of, you remember Jesus came to the earth? He lived 30 years, got baptized, 3 years of ministry, raised up 12 disciples, died on a cross, resurrected from the dead, and then he said, I'm going to build my church in the gates of hell. They didn't know what church was until that day of Pentecost, after Jesus was already resurrected from the dead. And then the church came together. The church was born. The ecclesia, the called out ones, the Christians. And we gathered together on Sunday in a building in Opelousas, Louisiana, a very fine building in Opelousas, Louisiana. And we come here because not because it is the church, but because we are the church. And that he said that church, he's going to use it to display his wisdom. To display what? Christians, Christ. Christian means little Christ. It means like an example. It means a sample. That when you leave here today, you're going to walk out into the community and you're to be the example and the sample. Jesus said this, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was the sample of what the Father was like. And then he said, now I'm going to use my church to be the sample of what the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are like. I'm going to use you. I don't know about you, but I would have come up with a different plan. God decided he was going to use us to be the example of what Jesus is really like in a community. What does that mean? To be the example of grace. I said to be the example of grace, to be the example of redemption, to be the ones who talk about what God has done in a community. He decided he was going to let us be the little sample, which means, how many of you have ever got a sample? You ever walked into the mall? That great cookie company or whatever they call that? And they got little samples out there, right? They put the little bitty samples, little sliced up samples, and you're walking by. How many of you ever got, how many of you ever been to Costco? Look, if you don't have a lot of money, just take your girl to Costco. Y'all can have dinner right there at Costco. You say, baby, I want to go on a date. Where are we going? Costco. You can go through. How many know you get a sample? Why? Well, because they get a sample to show you what the real deal is. And so we are supposed to be samples in our community of grace, redemption. That's why you got to drive like a Christian. I'm talking to some of you this morning. And so Jesus, this is what the scripture is letting us know, that the church would display his wisdom in its rich variety. I love that. Rich variety. To all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And then I love this. This was his eternal. This was always his plan, was to be, for us to be the church. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about, can I just give you some preferable future things? A little bit of what's going to be happening at OSC in the Opelousas campus and really across some of our other campuses as well. Number one, let me just tell you about 2020, some of the things we see as a preferable future. And I want you to see these things with me. Let me give you the first thing. We really want to make a concerted effort and a strategy to get outside of these four walls and to be that sample to a community. So I'm calling it number one, a strategy or an effort for a more concerted effort to outreach into our community. I want us to get outside of these walls and get into our community and be the sample. Can I get a good amen? Yeah, some of you are going to get excited about this. Let me tell you a couple of things that we're talking about doing. One is we've already started having the initial conversations about getting our services streamed into the St. Landry Parish Correctional Centers. That's right. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, we're excited about that, about the possibilities of that, that we can actually not just stream it, but actually have service inside of our correctional service, in our corrections here in St. Landry Parish. And that was birthed this past Christmas. Some Lafayette folks were in the Lafayette jails, and they had leftover Christmas supply or gifts. And so they called St. Landry, said, could we bring it to the prisoners there? They said, yeah. And when they walked into there and they started giving it out and it said Our Savior's Church on it, a bunch of the prisoners started asking, hey, tell Pastor Yu, I'm going to get out. I'll be back. Tell Pastor Yu, I'll be back. Which says they were here. They are now there. And what when the how many go, we want you to come to church? How many know sometimes you got to take church to them? And so what an opportunity that we could have church right inside there. I'll look at the camera just like now and say, we welcome to Our Savior's Church this morning. We want to welcome all of those at St. Landry Parish, our correctional institution. We welcome you. You're part of our spiritual family. Here's what I know. Most of those in the correctional facilities in St. Landry Parish are in there from 8 months to 18 months. 8 months to 18 months. The reason why most of them are in there so long is not because they're paying their time for a crime. Most of them are in there because they can't get proper representation. In other words, they don't have the resources to hire an advocate or an attorney. Most of them are in there waiting that long and waiting for a public defender to be able to defend them so they could have their court date. Which means they might have only supposed to have been in there for 4 months, but they end up spending 18 months in there because they're still waiting on the public defender. How many think we ought to just, let's build a bridge so that when they do get out, there's a bridge. They already have a spiritual family that they're already a part of. And when they get out, they'll just follow the bridge over here into our church and be a part of this spiritual family. Come on, we got to give God praise for that. 2020. So, and part of that outreach to our community, we're very excited to developing a strategy for our schools and our school system that we can be an integral part. Again, not asking them to come here, but us go there. And if we go there, how many know we want to build a bridge also for young people? Look at me right here. If we don't reach the next generation of our community, if we don't capture their heart and reach the next generation, then one day you're going to walk into the services here and it's going to look like a box of Q-tips. That'll take some of you a little bit. You know, when you open up the Q-tips, it's all a bunch of white heads. We're going to get old and we're going to be a one-hit wonder if we don't start raising up the next generation. I get excited every time I see some of these young people up here leading worship and playing. They're the next gen. They're the next generation. Listen, we only get the baton for a while. Then you pass it on to the next generation, and they carry it forward. Are y'all with me? Everybody track it with me. So we're excited about that. Let me give you number two. Let me give you a preferable future. I'm going to talk a little bit about this in my message, but I'm going to hurry. I'm going to speak fast because I got to hurry. Listen. We are talking about after the new year, after our spiritual renewal week that's coming up in January, we're going to start having midweek services. Thank you, girls. Heidi and you girls, y'all just showed us that there was a hunger for us to go to a deeper level getting the word in us. You got to get in the Word. You got to be people of the Word. The Word is where you gain strength. It is the Word that strengthens you. It is getting the Word in us and using that midweek for students, using that for the entire family, and having midweek services. So we're talking about in the future about there's a desire for us to go deeper. Can I get an amen? So I want you to be a part of that. And let me give you number three, very excited about, is we live in a community that's lost community. Now, what do I mean by that? We live in a community that has lost community. That means there's not much that we gather around anymore. We've lost some things in our community. We're watching in America now, we're watching it happen, that communities, how many of y'all remember when you were little and the neighbor might spank you? How many of you ever got spanked by a neighbor? It's like, what are y'all doing? Get home. I'm calling your mama. Yeah, because you need. That's how we all grew up. You know, it's like we grew up. If you did something stupid down at the corner, you know, if your mama didn't find out, that neighbor would come out and beat your butt. That's what my mother always said. I'll beat your butt. And so we've lost something. Now we drive into our garages with our things, and we come in, and we don't connect anymore. One of the dreams of building this building was that it would be a well and not a temple. It would be a place where people come. That's the reason why there's a coffee shop here. Well, when we started building the construction, there's a couple, Heidi and I took out onto that back patio, and we were talking to them, and they don't go to our church. And I said, what we want to do out here is we want to build a lake out here. We want to increase the patio to outdoor living, have a place that we could cook food. And then on Sundays, the dream would be that you would come to church on Sunday and you would get your soul fed. And then afterwards, if you wanted to stay, you could walk right out on the patio area with your friends and your spiritual family, and you could have a meal together. Yeah, you're going to eat anyway. It wasn't to build community, that there's something that we gather around. How many of you know that God always intended that the church would be the place that we would gather around, that we would build so we could build community together? Well, that gentleman called me and just said, hey, when are you going to finish that outdoor? And I said, I ain't got no money. How many of you know it takes money? And he said, well, how much do you think it will take? And I said, I don't know. He said, well, let me know. I said, okay. And so I got it all together, went and visited with him about 10, 12 days ago, sat down with him in his office and said, here's what we're going to do. And he looked at it and said, hey, have you thought about this? And he started coming up with better ideas than I had. And I'm going, man, I love that idea. And he said, well, I'd like to see that happen. I said, well, I like your idea better. Hey, let's do this. And he goes, well, how much is this all going to cost? And I gave him the price. He said, well, go back and see what that's going to cost. And then I said, are you writing the check? And he's like, I said, I'll go do whatever you want me to do. Come on. Without a vision, look at Proverbs 29 and 18. And I don't think I put it up on the board for you. Without what? Where there is no what? Where there's no vision or revelation, people end up casting off restraint. Okay. I just wanted you to hear a little bit where the church is going. Go, wow, let's start getting into the community more. Let's start building bridges. So when people do need God, look at me right here. What's important? We need it important. It's important because everybody at some point is going to say, I need God. And when they do, I want them to think of a church that maybe could help them. And not that we're the only church, and we're not. And we pray for the other churches that they would be blessed and honored. We need all the churches to do well. 19,817, we can't reach them all. We need every church to do well. But I know what our part is. We've got to be focused on it and get going for it. Can I get an amen from this congregation? Let's do this. So let me just talk to you about drifting. Because I all of us can drift, and I want to talk to you today, and I want to make sure we get this together. And everybody say drifting. Yeah, we all drift. Nobody wants to drift. Nobody, marriages drift, churches drift, pastors drift. People drift, you drift, your family drifts, we drift. What do you mean by that? I think probably the best illustration is when our children were small, Heidi, we always went to the beach every year. I'm okay with the beach. The only problem with the beach is the sand. You get sand in places that you don't want sand in. That's the only problem. I like the water part. I like that part. I like the waves. My kids like the waves. But when they were small, Heidi and I would sit, read a book, umbrella, watch the kids, and that was our job. And how many of you know, if you go to Florida, there's always a little bit of a rip current. It's always a rip tide, and it will rip. It'll take you from one spot, and our job was to watch, you know, count the kids. Heidi would count the kids. 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're good. And then that rip current would take you parallel to the beach, and it would drag you without you even knowing that it was dragging you. So the kids would be out there playing, and the whole time they're playing, they're drifting down the beach. But how many of you know they're not realizing they're drifting down the beach? It's the rip tide. It's the undercurrent that's pulling them away, and they don't even recognize it's pulling them away. And Heidi would go, The kids are way down there. Go get them. And they're going, okay, that was my job. She'd count. I'd go get. And I'd walk down there and go, hey, kids, get out of the water. And they're going, what? And I go, get out of the water. If y'all answer that right now, they could still get here. Tell them. So I'd bring them out of the way. I go, what, Daddy? I said, look, we're way down here. And they go, well, how'd we get down here? The current. And I just want to, and the lifeguards used to raise the colored flag to let you know how bad the current was. And today, I just want to raise the flag a little bit. So just to let you know where the current is going. And that way, you can go, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, let's get back in front, because we have a preferable future, and it's going to take you. It's going to need you. And I want to just be a good pastor today. Part of my job is to get you out of your comfort zone. It's to push you. So I'm going to push you today. Is that all right? Vic's going to help me. It's going to take me a while. I got 10 minutes. Watch this. I want to give you five things of the undercurrent. I just want to put a flag up and go, watch these things, because they'll drift you away. Watch. Here's what the enemy would love to do to you without you even knowing it's happening to you. Just to take you down the beach of what you really want. And I want to help. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Okay. Let me give you some warnings about this drift that takes place. It'll drift you from God, your marriage, calling, vision, church, service, putting your hands to the plow of being what you wanted to be. And let me give you number one, watch the current. I want you to be leery of these things. It'll take you away from where you're supposed to be at. Number one, it's an out-of-control schedule or busyness. Did y'all hear that? Let me try that again. It's an out-of-control schedule or busyness. Busy. Busy, busy. Hey, y'all come see us. Yeah, we just been so busy. Busy. Everybody's busy. Have you ever noticed that? Everybody's busy. It just drags you away. I don't have time to read it, but just I'll give you the reference. Luke 10, 38, 42. There's a story where Jesus walks in. He's going to go to a house. He's going to visit it. In fact, they invited him in. That's kind of the representation of salvation. The day you let Jesus into your heart. And there were two women, Mary and Martha. Mary goes and sits at Jesus' feet. And the scripture says Jesus began to give her revelation, vision. But Martha was busy. She was doing all the trappings of hosting someone. And Martha comes to Jesus and says, could you tell my sister to get off her lazy and come and help me? And Jesus rebukes Martha and says, Mary has chose the better thing, to sit at my feet. Look at me. You can't sit at Jesus' feet if you're busy. Our culture is crying out. There's always something to do. It is crying out to you. It is always trying to get you distracted. If the enemy can't, if he can't steal from you, he'll end up blessing you to keep you busy, to give you more to do. And that's my concern. I'm just raising up the red flag. Whoa, 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 whoa. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. I want to teach you a word. You're going to need this word. This is worth your price of admission today. I want you to do your lips like this. Camera, come in. Do your lips like this. Kind of pucker them up like you're kissing somebody. Some of you aren't doing it up there. I see. Everybody do. Ready? I want to teach you this word. Ready? No. No. Ready? One, two, three. Everybody? No. Come on, say it like you mean it. One, two, three. No. I want to give you permission to say no to things. Every time you say no to something, it leaves that margin to say yes, no to a good thing, to say yes to the God thing. No to the good thing, to say yes to the God thing. Be careful. Be careful of your schedule. You got kids? Watch your children. They're in everything. Just be careful. I'm not saying kids shouldn't be involved in things. They should. It's good for them. But be careful. just be careful. For us, this is just us. This may not be you. For us, we said, you get to do one thing. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. We realize when they're about 12 years old, they ain't going pro. They ain't going pro. You know what I'm saying? And so, listen, the enemy wants to get you busy. That's just the current. It'll take you away. I'll tell you why in just a second. Let me give you number two. Misplaced affections. It's okay to love things. Sometimes things we should like, we end up loving. We should just be liking instead of loving. 1 John 2 and 15 says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you'll end up not having the love of the Father. It's always going to be competing for affections. It's always competing. And listen, I can't tell you how many times we've watched good people get lured away from the things of the faith. Okay, can I go old school on y'all real quick? I'm going old school, all right? Here's old school. Back when we were young, growing up in church, the average attendance of Sundays per month was 3 times per month, was people attended church, 3 out of 4 per month. Probably 10, 15 years ago, it went down to 2, average. Look at me now. Let me tell you where it's at now. Once per month is the average attendance. They call that, we go to that church. That's our church. And they only attend it once per month. You see what the enemy would love to do to you? He'd like to take you and watch you drift away. I'm just asking you. Come on, let's beat that average. Let's go. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to go. Listen, I am not against. I'm not telling you, don't go on vacations. Kids get sick. We all get it. Not every once in a while, go see a LSU football game. I'm just saying when the norm is, no. Listen, if you're getting up on Saturday or Sunday morning going, baby, are we going to church? You ain't getting it. No. Go ahead and decide now. No, me and my house, we serving the Lord. We go. The exception is when we don't. Not the exception when we do. Are y'all tracking with me? Listen, the church is where you come in to be encouraged and strengthened and filled so that the current doesn't take you away. Are you with me? Let me give you number three real quick. Number three is discontentment or discouragement. To be discontent, what does that mean? That means you're not happy with what you have. So you end up going after something, the things of this world, you end up going for it because somebody else has something you ain't got. I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, how I praise the Lord that you were concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I love this. I have what? I've learned how to be content. Listen, discontentment is one step away from discouragement. When you're discontent, I don't like it the way it is, then you're one step away from discouragement. And usually discouragement causes us to do something stupid. How many of you have ever bought something you thought you wanted, but once you got it, and then you had to make the payments on it, you hated the very thing that you once wanted? Raise your hand, you lie, you fry, you're in church. Most of us did it because we were trying to impress people we didn't even like. Are you checking? Let me. How do I battle discontentment? How do you battle the current? Let me help you. Gratitude. Thank you, Jesus, for what I do have. Thank you, Father, what you have given me. Thank you for this old house. Thank you for this old car. Thank you, Father, for my devil kids. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I know, Lord, but I'm trusting you're going to cast the devil out of them. I know, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what I do have. Thank you. Listen to me. Gratitude. gratitude, the emotion of gratitude is the, gratitude, the emotion of gratitude lasts the shortest. Anybody ever done something nice for you and you go, let me write them a thank you note. Now, I'm so appreciative of all you've done for me. Thank you, Eugene. Did it. Done. It's over. You don't continue to be thankful for it. There's a reason why we start every Sunday with worship. It's really gratitude. It's our time to walk in and go, thank you, God, I'm here today. I could be somewhere else. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all you've done for me. You're amazing. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in my right mind. Thank you. I got what I need. Are y'all with me? Let me give you number four real quick. I'm hurrying. Number four, watch the drift, is abundance. When you have more than what you need. I thank God I have more than what I need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Watch this. 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people craving money have even wandered from the true faith. Watch what happens. It's in the Old Testament. It's over and over again. It's a cycle. And we face the same cycle. You don't have, you pray. Oh, God, please meet the need. God meets the need. He begins to prosper you. And once he prospers you, you forget God. Here's Israel. They forget God. Then God's hand is removed from them. They get all the way back down to the bottom again. They call out to God, Lord, please forgive me. I'm going to start going to church more than once a month. And then they start going. And God blesses them. And then he gets them up to prosperity again. They're all happy. And then they forget God because they went to the lake. And then they forget God. And then guess what happens? He removes his hand from them. And they go in this vicious cycle over and over and over and over and over again. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God would not give you more than you need, but he not give you less than you need. How many of you want me to pray that God would give you more than you need? Now, what's the point? The point is when God does prosper you, it gives you more options. And you have to be careful to go, no. I'm not going to let the prosperity of God. And by the way, can I help you? If you're hearing my voice right now, you're probably in the top 1% of wage earners in the world. Oh, maybe not compared to Lafayette, but if we compare you to the rest of the world, you're in the top 1%. Every single person listening to my voice is prosperous. God has prospered you. You got to go, no. I'm not going to let that drift me away. And let me give you the last one. And number five is just sin. Hebrews 12:1, the New Living Translation says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such these huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down or causes us to drift away. My added version. And then it says, especially the sin that trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Listen, can I be real honest with you? Can I be real transparent with you? Bible tells us that we should confess our faults to one another, the church. That this ought to be a place that you feel comfortable coming into and going, could you pray for me? Because I really messed up this weekend. I don't want to be there. I just want to confess my fault. I want to confess my sin. There's a reason why we don't. This bothers me. Why don't we? Because you're afraid, aren't you? Well, I'm afraid if I do that, then people will, judge me? Then that means we have more of a represent, reputation. It hit me. I'm getting older. We have more of a reputation of being judgmental than we do of being graceful. Don't you think this ought to be the place where you could walk in and go, I need y'all to pray for me because I'm struggling and I need help. That's ought to be the mark of the church, is that it ought to be a place where you get its strength and encouragement and prayer support and people standing with you and accountability and go, man, we'll help you. We're going to walk that with you. Instead, it ends up being the place where we walk in and put our mask on and act like everything's awesome when it's really not. Are y'all with me? I know you got in a cuss fight with your wife out in the car before you got here. And then you walked in and said, praise the Lord, bless God, all is well. This ought to be the place where you can come. 1 John 1 and 9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, what? He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all of our wickedness. Thank you, Jesus, for your incredible grace that we can always bring it to you. Amen. Everybody, look right here. How many of you received this word? Do you see how the enemy would love to drift you away? He'd love just little by little to drift you away. I wanted you to see a preferable future, to go, no, no, no. The reason why we cast off restraint is because we don't have a preferable future. I want you to see how necessary you are to 19,817 finding Christ as their Lord and Savior. You're the sample. You got to recommit to the house again, going, I'm going to be a part of a church. We miss you when you're not here. You're a part of this. The church is not as good when you're not here. Let's recommit. Let's reach our community for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Let's put our hands together. Thank you, Father. Every head bowed and every eye closed today. Father, we receive your word today. I know, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would put your finger on, that our people would hear the other voice. They'd hear yours, the whispering to their own spirit, a father of adjustments they need to make. Seeing that the enemy would love to drift them away without them even knowing it. And that, Father, maybe today you're coming to the beach and you're calling us out to re-put us back where we needed to go. We hear your word today. We receive it. Now, Christians, would you begin to pray right now for everyone on your row? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're in a house of grace. We need God's grace. We need God's forgiveness. Every one of us. Jesus said you can't see the kingdom or enter into the kingdom until you've been born again. You got to be born again. And you go, Pastor, you, how do I get born again? How do I receive this grace? How do I receive this forgiveness? It's as easy as A, B, and C. You just admit that you're a sinner. It all begins there. You got to know where you're really at. You got to admit it. B, believe that Christ came to be your sin bearer, to pay your penalty, your sin penalty, your sin debt. Take your guilt, your sin, and your shame. And then C, just confess him as Lord. Invite him into your heart. Make him the Lord of your life. He'll let you start over today. I want to pray for you if that's your heart. And you go, I got things I got to repent of. I need to be born again. I need forgiveness. I'm sorry. I want to pray for you because today's your day to be born again. If that's you today, would you just slip your hand up all over this building? I'm going to pray for you. No one's looking at me. Hold it up high right now. Don't be ashamed. Say, I want to be born again today. Hold it up high. Thank you. One and two. Thank you, sir. Three and four and five and six and seven. Hold it up high. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 and 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 and 20. Hold up high. 21, 22. Thank you, ma'am. 23 hands today. Congregation, let's add our prayer and our voice to theirs. Would you pray this out loud with me? Mean this from your heart. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God all the praise for that.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.